Just before I begin the lesson this morning, I want to mention something about our reading schedule that Phil Ware introduced to us this past week. I picked up a sheet at the back that has the reading schedule on it, starting with the Gospel of John, and then Mark, and Luke, and Matthew. And I thought this is a nice burnt orange sheet for us to read from. But you can find these this reading schedule on the website and various places. But encourage us to be reading. It's one chapter a day and answering certain questions as we read through the Gospels together. Again, welcome to everyone who's here this morning. I was born on August the 8th, 1946, in Tohoka, Texas. Marianna Long knows where that is. Those of you who do not know where Tohoka, Texas is located, it's the county seat of Linn County, which is just below Lubbock County. When my parents took me home after being born to live in northern Linn County in the little community of New Home on a cotton farm, I had two older brothers. My oldest brother is named Jimmy, and he lives now in Lubbock. And my middle brother is Larry, who lives in Amarillo, Texas. So we were a family of five. My mom, my dad, and three boys. Throughout the years, when people ask me about my family, I tell them I have two older brothers, Larry and Jimmy. Until February, I discovered that I have a younger brother. On a trip to Lubbock, Texas, Gail and I made, I found out that I have a younger brother. I'm going to show you his picture. Some of you are going to be surprised when you see his picture because he is a member of this congregation and he is our youth minister, Taylor Cockrell. He's only 23 years old. I'm 68. He is younger than all of my children. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, I know what you're saying. He is your brother in Christ, your Christian brother. But that's not what I'm talking about. When we made the trip to Lubbock in February, we were going to the Lubbock Christian University homecoming. And on Saturday morning, I got up and went to the reunion breakfast for Quantania Social Club, which was the club that I was a part of. When we gathered in that room with all the guys who had come back for the reunion, there were some close to my age, and all the way down to those who are current members of Quantania Social Club, who are students at Lubbock Christian now. And when I looked in that room, guess who I saw? Taylor Cockrell. He is my Quantania brother. Taylor became a member of Quantania in 2012. I became a member of Quantania in 1964. 48 years difference, but 48 years after 1964, he became my Quantania brother. So he's not really my flesh and blood brother, but he is a brother in at least two senses. He is my brother in Christ, and he's my Quantania brother. When I became a member of Quantania, I really didn't know what that word meant. I just knew it was a club on the campus of Lubbock Christian University. It was later that I came to understand that it is from a Greek word. It's from a Greek New Testament word. And really, instead of being pronounced Quantania, it probably should be pronounced koinonia. It's the word for fellowship. Koinonia. And that is a lengthy way of telling you that that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about koinonia. I want to talk about fellowship. And the title of this lesson is Two Are Better Than One. Two are better than one. As I thought about preaching on fellowship today, I tried to go back in my mind and think, what was the earliest point that I heard the word fellowship, and what did it mean to me when I heard it? And as I looked back in my history as a Christian and involvement with church, one of the first remembrances that I have of the word fellowship and its being used was when churches of Christ started to construct what we call fellowship halls, or in some cases, fellowship buildings, a fellowship room at church. Now, the church that I grew up in my first 18 years of my life, we didn't have a fellowship hall. We didn't have a separate fellowship building. When you would enter the Church of Christ in New Home, Texas, there was the foyer. Then you would go into the auditorium, which had the pews in a straight line. At the front, there was a communion table, and then up on an elevated little platform, there was a pulpit. And behind that, there was the baptistry. And then on the sides, there were classrooms. But we didn't have a fellowship hall. But at some point, I can't remember if I was just a before middle school or at what point it was, I remember there were some churches that started to construct a fellowship hall or fellowship buildings. I can remember that some of them looked maybe a little bit like this. I can remember the linoleum floors. I can remember that there was some sort of a kitchen in the fellowship room. And suddenly, something started to happen at church that had never happened at church, in my experience. We had gone to church for worship and for Bible study. And I do remember when church was over, maybe even before it began, there was a lot of conversing and visiting, a lot of it in the church building and some of it out on the front lawn. But suddenly we had a place where we could have a party at church. We didn't call it a party. We called it a fellowship. I can even remember announcements starting to be made. Be sure to stay for the fellowship this evening after church. And by the fellowship, as a young person, I began to interpret that as a place where we would eat a meal together, and maybe there would be tables and we'd start playing some games. And so at church we started to have fun and games in addition to our regular activities. And in my mind, that defined fellowship. But I want to say this morning, I want to emphasize this morning, there is much more to koinonia in the New Testament than fun and games. There is much more to fellowship activity than having a good time after church. So what does the New Testament really teach us about fellowship? There are really two aspects of fellowship that I want to talk about this morning. The first one has to do with our relationship with God. I'd like for you to read with me or see these words that are going to appear on the screen. The first aspect of fellowship, which I want to emphasize, is this. In the New Testament, Fellowship. Koinonia describes the relationship we have with God. And that's amazing. We have a fellowship relationship with God. God invites us into fellowship with Himself. In other words, what the New Testament teaches us about fellowship is that God wants to have fellowship with man. He invites us into fellowship with Himself, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. God creates this fellowship relationship. God is the one who initiates fellowship with you and with me. It is God who makes fellowship possible. Fellowship between us and deity. I was thinking about this even before I walked up to begin talking about this lesson. That should not surprise us when we read through the Scriptures. It should not surprise us when we read Genesis chapter 1. God created man and woman, and He dwelt with them in the Garden of Eden. God wanted to have a relationship with man from the very beginning, and God is the one who has initiated that relationship. And throughout the history of mankind, God has wanted to be in fellowship with His creation, with us. Now here's what is in some ways amazing to me about that. When I became a member of the Koinonia Social Club at Lubbock, and when I became a member later at AACC of the Knights Social Club, it was something that I really wanted to be a part of. It was something that I took a lot of the initiative to be a part of those clubs. And I see that still happening in our Christian college campuses today. We have kids who live to be a part of certain clubs. And they will go through all kinds of things as they pledge so that they can prove themselves worthy and maybe to be accepted into the social club of their choice. But in the New Testament, when it talks about koinonia, fellowship with God, it is God who takes the initiative. It is God who is the one who reaches out to establish a relationship with me and with you. God takes the initiative. The first text I want you to see is Romans chapter 5, which describes how God enters into a relationship with us, and He's the one who takes the initiative. Romans chapter 5, would you read with me verses 6 through 10? Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" It's always interested me about that particular text that Paul uses. He uses three words there in that passage to describe our state when God initiated the relationship with us. In verse 6, the last word of verse 6, he says, "Christ died for the ungodly." In verse 8, God demonstrates His own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. And then finally, He says down in verse 10, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. And so, in essence, this is the gospel message. This is the good news message that saves us. We have been rescued from sin. We have been rescued from ungodliness. We have been rescued from being enemies of God. And God is the one who has taken the initiative for us to be in a fellowship, a koinonia relationship with Him. Just quickly, I want to look at three other texts that talk about the fact that God is the one who brings us into fellowship with Himself, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. The first passage is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. This is what Paul writes. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. He has called us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. The second passage is also from Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. As he ends this letter to the Corinthians, he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are in a koinonia relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and with God. The last text is 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. As he opens that letter and he talks about what his message was, that I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2 to lead into verse 3. He said, as he opened that letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. He says, I have proclaimed to you the one who appeared, Jesus, the one who appeared. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The first thing that koinonia is, the first thing that defines for us that it is more than just a meal together and playing together and enjoying a good time together, the first thing is that we are in fellowship with God. Amazingly, God wants to be in a relationship with us. I thought of these words taken from the song, I Come to the Garden Alone. The words that apply to this are, and He walks with me. And He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Isn't that amazing? God wants to have a relationship with us. And so, the bottom of this particular slide, New Testament fellowship is this. We have fellowship with God, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But that's only the first part. The second part of New Testament koinonia, New Testament fellowship, is this, what you see on this slide. There is more. An automatic result of our fellowship, our koinonia with God, is another fellowship, another koinonia. Because of our fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with other Christians. God creates that fellowship as well. And it's automatic. When you responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you became a Christian, you automatically became a part of a family. You became a part of the church. You became a part of a body. And you were connected to all those others who became a part of the fellowship with God. I told you at the very beginning of this sermon that when I was taken home from Tahoka, Texas, to the new home farm, I had two older brothers. There wasn't a thing in the world that I could do about that. I was the youngest brother, and I had to live with Larry and Jimmy all those years, whether I liked it or not. And sometimes I didn't like it. Like all of you, probably, who had brothers and sisters. I didn't get to choose. Oh, well, I would rather my friend Elton George at church, at school, be my brother. I'd rather him be my brother than Larry. I couldn't do that. I was born into the family of Browns, and there were already two Browns there that I had to share the house with. You have been born into the family of God, and you share maybe with a... I mean, one of the things that we see when we read the New Testament is that when God creates this fellowship, He brings together people who are very diverse. As he talks about it in the New Testament, he says, there are Jews and there are Gentiles. There are slaves and there are free. There are male and there are female. And we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so you look around this room today, just this room, and this is only a small part of the body of Christ, the fellowship. But you look around this room, and we have a lot of different kinds of people, don't we? We have a lot of different ages in this room. We have some different colors in this room. We have different educational standards within this room and different social strata within this room. Just like in the first century church, there were slaves and free. But they were one. They were brothers and sisters in Christ. When Paul wrote to Philemon, he had to convince Philemon that Onesimus was his brother. And you need to be accepting of this brother who is now a runaway slave. Accept him as your brother in Christ, because that's what he is. So when we enter into a fellowship relationship with God, we also enter into a fellowship relationship with people whose names we do not know, whose personalities we cannot choose. But that's how God has designed His church. We are in a koinonia fellowship relationship with one another. Go ahead and put that. One practical result. This is what I've just been saying, I think. One practical result of the fellowship that God creates is that barriers that normally separate are removed. Back in the first century, Jews and Gentiles didn't get along. Slaves and freed certainly didn't share table fellowship together. But God has destroyed those barriers. Next slide, and what will come up. I'd like to read what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And I think these words express very well what the fellowship relationship is that we have. What are the benefits of being in a koinonia relationship? What are the benefits besides being able to share a meal together and play 42 together? What are some of the benefits? Well, here's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says, and I'm not sure he is exactly talking about fellowship, but it describes it well. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There are three words at the bottom of this slide, which I think are expressed as the benefit of koinonia, fellowship, the practical benefits of us being in this family together, being in a koinonia, fellowship relationship together. There is support, the support that we receive from one another, the strength that we receive from one another, and the productivity that comes when many hands are working together. In my years of working with congregations and preaching and being involved with families who have suffered loss, suffered hard times, I cannot tell you how many times one of my brothers or sisters in Christ have told me, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have my Christian family. I've heard that so many times. I don't know what I would do. I don't know, and they will even reflect on, I don't know what people who are in the world who don't have this, I guess I'll call it a support system, I don't know what they do. But we have each other to lean upon. We have each other to draw strength from. We have each other to support us in our lives. And we have this body, this family, to be productive together. I mean, you think, I'm just going to think for just a second about yesterday. And I know some of you were involved with the Hillcrest Parade and then the ice cream thing that happened in our multipurpose room. Events like that, our vacation Bible school that has just happened, our mission trips, which we're sending our kids on this week, those things happen because of koinonia, fellowship. It is a shared activity. It is something where we're working together and we depend upon each other. And so, koinonia is a much richer word than I knew it was in 1964. I want you to see one last picture. Because one time I heard a definition of fellowship, which it's, in some ways it's a pretty good definition because it describes a lot of things that fellowship does. Two fellows in a ship. Now that's not much of a ship that you see up there. But those guys, I get the feeling they may be in a race. And they may be ahead. There's one of them, they're looking back at somebody. But they're working together. And they are in close proximity. When you think about how would you define fellowship, two fellows in a ship is a pretty good way to define it. Or maybe two girls in a ship. It's a partnership. It's working together. It's sharing our lives together. And we are wonderfully blessed today to be not only in fellowship with one another, but first of all, we're in fellowship with God. As we sing the song, as we close this lesson this morning, I want to extend an invitation. I want to extend an invitation for you. If you've never become a part of a fellowship relationship with God, If you've never turned away from being his enemy, if you've never turned away from being ungodly or a sinner, he has done so much to bring you into that relationship. Will you not? Will you not be willing to accept the gracious offer that he has given? So as we sing this song this morning, if you're not a Christian, we're inviting you to make that decision. As we sing this song, those of you who have that relationship and share that relationship with all of these who are here this morning as brothers and sisters, sing this song with joy. Sing this song realizing how you've been blessed. If there's a need, we invite you to come while we sing this invitation song.